Thought for today. I am dedicated to following the rules. And why I'm facing this way. I'm dedicated to following the rules. I'm dedicated to following the rules. I'm dedicated to following the rules. Nice, huh? Do you like to follow the rules? Do you think the rules are interesting to follow? I am dedicated to following the rules. And I do it very carefully and very much and all the time. Now, here at the Absolute Monastery, we have rules.
Herb, you say this again and again and again.
Yes, and I say this next statement again and again and again too. You wrote the rules. You wrote the rules at the monastery here because that's what you wanted. And then you complained about the rules from time to time, and I say, hey, change them. Change them. Anything you want. You wrote them, you can change them. No, we can't change them. Well, then live with them. The rule says you must hit your thumb with the hammer. Bang, bang, bang. Well, I don't find that too nice a rule. It doesn't please me very much. Now, if I were, what's the fellow's name in Harry Potter? If I were this big oaf in Harry Potter, I would probably be able to hit my thumb with a hammer and not think a thing about it. But I'm not. I'm Herb Byerly. And when I hit my thumb with a hammer, it hurts. And so I stop it. The rule says I must hit my thumb with the hammer. I go to a different place that doesn't have that rule, or I change that rule. I am not going to live by a rule that I find inconsistent for me, a rule that is not harmonious for me. I'm going to change it, okay? I go to a place where the rules are very harmonious with my thinking, with my way of life, with what's important to me, and that's good. So, here I am in a place where the rules are just what I want. In a country where the rules are just what I want. In a world where the rules are just what I want. And then the first thing I say, I want to change the rules. Now, you say, not I, cried Little Red Hen. No way. Yes, you did. Would you like to levitate? Would that be fun? Well, we live in a country that has gravity. In a world that has gravity, in a universe that functions on gravity. Each planet, each one of these wonderful galaxies are all governed by gravity, among other things. And you would like to float? You would like to go contrary to gravity? You'd like to go contrary to the rules of the planet on which you live? Why, that is outrageous. Don't you realize that's not acceptable? That's not acceptable? That's not acceptable. And that's true, it's not acceptable. And this is why levitating is so difficult. It's not because it can't be done, it's because it's not acceptable. The race consciousness says it is not rational to levitate. Oh, some people somewhere may have done it at some time, but it's not an everyday occurrence. And those are the people, including yourselves, who do not see flying saucers. You do not see incidents, activities from other dimensions taking place right here in this time and place. You don't see it. Because you are so interested in what race consciousness says and so concerned with what race consciousness says that that's much more important to you than doing something charming, amusing, like levitating, teleporting. Oh, you read about it in Jonathan Livingston Seagull, you read about it in the Bible, you read about it in lots of other places. But you're a jerk. You're a living jerk. You read about it, but you don't believe it. Why do you read about these things? Why do you amuse yourself with these things? Why do you read the life and teachings of the masters of the Far East? It's a bunch of junk. A bunch of idiots writing. unless you're going to practice it. Don't read these things unless you're going to practice it. Don't read these things to make a comparison to say, well, now, according to Life and Teachings, the Bible is this, and according to Herb, the Bible is that, and according to somebody else, the Bible is that. Hey, you read the Bible, and you make the decision what the Bible is for you. You read what somebody else wrote and make the decision whether you correspond with what they're writing. You make the decision. You see, you make your own rules. Every one of you came here to this absolute monastery with a set of rules that have guided you throughout your life to this point. And now you're being asked to change those rules. You're asked to be changing those rules to a new set of rules. And the most violent rule that we have here at the monastery, the most utterly damnable rule that we have here that destroys everybody right from the beginning when they come here, is to say, I like me. You are so unaccustomed to saying I like me in the outer world. In the outer world you say, oh damn, I made this mistake, oh damn, I did this. Stop it, stop it. If you do something wrong, let it go and do something right. If you hit the wrong note on the piano while you're learning how to play the piano, hitting the wrong note, bang, 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 isn't going to teach you to play the right note. So you just stop. You press that right note. You get that right note into your consciousness. This is the note that I want to play there. This is the note that belongs at that part in the score. This is the note I want to play. You practice that. You don't practice the whole piece. You can. But you practice that note. First, you get that note in your consciousness. Now, John finds carrying a note difficult, so he takes out the peace pipe, pitch pipe, and he blows a note on the pitch pipe. And he hears the note in his consciousness, and then he sings the note. Now, he forgets that he's going to sing four different notes, so you have to have four different pitches. But he does good on that first note, because he hears it. He hears it. John is good. John can do anything. John is an exquisite musician, but John doesn't think so. John thinks he cannot hold a tune, and so he cannot hold a tune. But he can find a pitch. He can toot the pitch on the pitch pipe, and he can go to it. And if he can do that, then he can carry a tune. It's up to him what he wants to do. He can do anything he wants to do. And it's all up to him. Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to learn how to carry a note? Do you want to learn how to say, I like me? Do you want to do all these things? You can. And if you do, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is everything is going to fall right into place for you. Everything is going to be just beautiful for you. Everything is going to be just harmonious for you. Now, while we are having our talk here this morning, the telephone is ringing in the other room. Now, we are on the edge of having a great seminar for Christmas, and we're having 16, 17 people here for the seminar. And quite likely that's one of those people calling up to say something. Now, they're reaching my telephone number, so they must be close to us, because otherwise they wouldn't know my telephone number is 2777, not 5111, 4782777. So, if that is one of our friends calling up, they will leave their name and their number and say, I called, please check back with me. And no big deal. No, oh, I've got to tell you, the time has changed, and this has changed, and that has changed. So, hey, just a short time from now, we'll be checking with them, 20 minutes, 21 minutes, we'll be checking with them, and we'll be finding out, why are we so possessed by this? If they can't get us, so what? Perhaps it's one of our friends who likes to call us, and who likes to tell us his problems and have us treat for him. And I treat for him. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call him back, even if he doesn't leave his number, which he will, I'm sure. And I'm going to say, on his answering service, I'm going to say, you are whole and perfect. You are fantastic. You are glorious. Now treat for yourself. You don't need me. You don't need me to do this. The fact is, he made a lovely statement on the phone the other day. He says, Herb, he says, I want to do something for the church. I have something very important I want to do for the church. It's something very wonderful for the church. But then, Herb, what has the church done for me? No, I don't think I have something I want to do for the church. And I thought to myself, wonderful, wonderful. We are now saved from having an overcoat that doesn't fit. You must understand, at one of my seminars, one of my guests in the seminar wanted to do something for me so much, he took off the coat he was wearing and gave it to me. And of course, his arms were much shorter than mine, so the coat came to here. He has worn that coat for at least 2,000 years, and the inner lining was entirely worn. But it was a gift. It was something he lovingly gave to me. He wanted to say thank you, Herb, in his own way. And I accepted it. And that was very... I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm just saying his gift was not perfect for me, but it was a gift. If a little child grabs a bunch of flowers and brings them to you and crunches them all up in her hands and they're all sort of crookly-clockly and gives them to you, and you say, oh my God, what a mess. What am I going to do that? It's for you, Mrs. Jones. And you say, thank you, child. That's very lovely of you. Because you're so nice. You're always giving us cookies. You're always giving, and you're so wonderful. Thank you. And she shoves them in your hand and runs away to say that she isn't doing that because she wants some more cookies right now. She's doing that because she loves you. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to take them and throw them in the garbage? You throw them in the garbage and you miss the point. You miss the point. You miss the game. You miss the rule. Love is to be carried on. Love is not to be discarded. The rule is that if you want love, you give love, and you respect love. When my friend gave me that jacket, it was pure love. He is a nice person, he's a fine person, but he didn't recognize that his favorite jacket that he has worn all of his life, that just pleased him to pieces. And he was giving it to me, something that meant so much to him. Could I do anything but delight in it? Could I do anything but delight in it? Could we do anything but delight in those crumpled up flowers given to us by some child? Could we do anything but delight in having the responsibility of being human when we are in a human world? Now, I'm dedicated to following the rules. The rules here at this monastery are very simple. And they say, in effect, besides, I like me and I'm God, be yourself and have fun. Now, if you're God, being yourself and having fun, you can't do anything wrong, can you? If you're being God, if you say, I am God, and then you say, I am myself and I have fun, being yourself and having fun, how can anything be wrong with that? How can anything be wrong? You see, people think it's wrong because they think you're being human. They think you're being a normal, everyday person who is touched by the environment, who is touched by the circumstances that go on in life. And man, we're not touched by the circumstances. We are the circumstances. And I tell you, you have a perfect right. The rules are not written in stone. Even if they're written in stone, break it up. We had a beautiful pot here, and it was a lovely pot at one time. But it got set down kind of hard once in a while. It chipped off the outer edge of it. The tray that would hold the water when it ran over, it was broken off, and the pot had some cracks. I thought, why are we hanging on to this pot? The plant is lovely. So I went into my office, and in my lower shelf, my lower drawer, I reached and got a hammer, came to the kitchen sink. I set the pot on the kitchen sink and tried to take it out of the pot before, and it wouldn't come out. So I took the hammer and tap, 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 and the pot plop, psh, fell away. I picked up the plant and put it in this beautiful white pot here, and it'll last forever. It'll last forever. But we don't need to have outdated, outmoded things that are no longer beautiful. Throw them away. Throw away those old stockings instead of knitting them and correcting them. You see, when we hang on to things that are, what are we doing? Let's look at that. The rule was in our house with five kids and mom and pop that mother would mend the stockings, especially the heels. You know how the heels go out first. And she'd mend the heels. And then we'd be walking on these uncomfortable heels until we didn't feel it anymore. She'd mend the toes, because we'd get through the toes because they didn't cut our toenails often enough. And we'd have to share socks back and forth. And it was normal. This is what the normal human does. But socks are not that expensive. And your feet are very expensive. Your feet are the foundation that carry you through the world and through life. And if you don't take care of your feet now, your feet won't take care of you later in life. So be careful. Take good care of your feet. The rule is to save money, to mend your socks, to mend your clothing. Well, perhaps, like my mother would come to a point in mending, she'd say, enough! And she'd rip rag for the rag bag. In fact, mother had so many rags for the rag bag. She's quite a lady. Seven people in our family. That during the war, when nobody had a new carpet in their home, she took all of our rags from the rag bag. She had rags, I tell you, so many rags, and she took them down to the Olson Carpet Company. And the Olson Carpet Company made carpeting for our entire living room, the dining room, the hall stairs, and the landing upstairs. The entire thing, beautiful, thick carpet of many colors. Beautiful. Now, that carpet was much nicer under our feet than darn stockings. Darn stockings is the right word for it, I guess, too. But let us grow out of these old rules. You are now a free person. You are now able to think in a new way. You are now able to create for yourself new rules. If you're going to join a school and the school says, follow the rules, then you follow those rules. If you're going to start your own household and you have your own home anywhere, you have your own rules. In some people's house, you take off your shoes before you come in the house. Some people, it's religious. Some people, it's just to keep the carpet clean. And, of course, they're very foolish. Most people's socks are dirtier than their shoes are. And their feet are sweaty and smelly, and they walk with their bare feet on that nice, clean carpet with these stinky feet. You should have really a bucket of water at the door, too, and say, wash your feet. Take off your shoes and wash your feet. And then, of course, if they have athlete's foot, then they're going to spread athlete's foot all over your carpet in your living room. Herb, you're making this sound terrible. That's right. Because we make these rules, and we don't think of all the ramifications. And don't worry about a little dirt on your carpet. You really should vacuum it once in a while. You really should vacuum it once in a while. I have the vacuum cleaner standing in my office, and it's been there now for 3 days. And I think that's just wonderful. I'm so pleased that whoever put the vacuum cleaner there felt that it should be a piece of decoration in my office. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. People come and offer to be helpful in my office, and when they come in and offer to be helpful in my office, everything stops. Whether it's Sylvia putting up my printers, or whether it's John coming in and lifting up my desk and slipping under a new board and stuff like that, or Ellen coming in and saying, I'm putting this plant right here on your desk. And she says, this desk isn't changed for the last 3 days. It's just as messy as it was when you first moved in here and put everything on top of it. That's right. I haven't had a chance to put the things away because people keep putting plants on my desk and fixing my printers for me and putting boards under my desk, and which I love. Don't misunderstand me. But you look at my end product and you say to yourself, he certainly hasn't been very efficient. And you're right. I do other things too. But aside from that, follow the rules. Whatever rules you make for yourself, follow them. Now, one of the things that the rule for the abbot is, and it's very important, the abbot is an example of what everyone should be. The abbot is a perfect example of what everyone should be. And what is it that everyone should be? Everyone should be themselves and have fun. Everyone should be honest. Everyone should be loving. Everyone should be gentle. Everyone should be so wonderful, so fantastic, that life is just filled with peace and joy and harmony and goodness. And it's your choice. And that's what life should be. Are you ready for life to be that? Are you ready to be totally in charge of your world? Are you ready to be the master of your world? I'm ready to have you be the master of your world. But now, we had a talk yesterday. It was about TTT. Tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. No matter whether it hurts somebody or it doesn't hurt somebody, always tell the truth. Now, it's not a matter of your truth. It's not a matter of your observation. It's just a matter of whatever is the truth. Speak up and tell the truth, because this is what is going to make you happy. This is what's going to make your life fulfilled. And that's a rule. We have 12, 13 rules, maybe 14, on our little list, rules of the house. And these rules of the house are very simple and very wonderful. Always follow those rules and you'll never get in trouble. Always follow those rules and you'll never get in trouble. We will have some young people at our seminar, and they have been at previous seminars, most of them. And so, as these people are at our seminar, think about it. They're going to be looking at you and how you act and how you live your life and who you are. And they're going to be saying, I like that person. One young boy, his mother was describing him to me. His mother was describing me to him. And she said, he's Mr. Candle. Oh, he's Mr. Candle. Oh, great, wonderful. Now, Mr. Candle is a very special person. Mr. Candle is a very loving person, a very gentle person, non-judgmental person. A person who doesn't tell anybody else how to live their life or run their world. Everyone would like to have Mr. Candle as a friend. Well, now, that's a pretty good role model. Are you ready for that role model for yourself? Not that you have to be Mr. Candle, but are you ready for the role model of being somebody that somebody will look up to? That somebody will honor and respect and admire. That somebody will worship and think is the greatest person on the face of the earth. That somebody is you. Do you think you're the greatest person on the face of the earth? Do you worship yourself? Do you respect yourself? Do you think that you're just great? If you don't, how can anyone else think that? If you don't think you're wonderful, how can anyone else think that? And you tell me you're not wonderful whenever you say, I can't do something, I don't know something, or I'm sorry, I forgot. We don't say things like that. I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. You can't make mistakes. If you know the truth, you cannot make mistakes. If you know the rules, you cannot make mistakes. Does that make any sense to you? You cannot make mistakes when you know the rules. It just doesn't work. So, what are the rules? Are they rules that you've created? Rules that I've created? I have a rule, and it's a standing rule on campus, and it will be sacrosanct by me. I don't care what you do, but by me. I never invite anyone to come to campus at any time, for any circumstances, for anything. They are welcome. I will greet them and welcome them, but I will not invite them, because if I invite them, if I invite anybody, then I must be their caretaker. I must be their host. I must show them around. I must house them and feed them and clothe them however long they choose to stay. And I don't have any guests. I don't invite anyone to campus, young or old. I don't invite anyone to come to campus. If any of you or anybody else wants to come to campus, you're welcome with open arms. But the coming is an individual choice. The coming is an individual choice. Now, it was your choice. It was your choice to come here because you knew the rules. Now, Anita played a little game. She says, I didn't read those rules. Stephen didn't give me those rules. Stephen, did you give her the rules? You bet. Everybody got the rules. Everybody got the rules. But perhaps one of the first duties of our new abbot might be to establish those rules into a little booklet like we have for the GIST, and get all the rules spelled out in that little booklet form, and then print up a couple thousand of those and give them out. Because we don't want anyone ever to be here unless they've read all the rules and know all of the ramifications of what it means to be here. This is a spiritual retreat. This is not a playground. This is not a place where you have good meals and a good place to sleep and a good experiences to have. This is hell. Because you are here because you want to change your attitude from how you were when you were there. If being in the world is all that wonderful, then stay there. If being in the world is so complete and so wonderful for you, then don't come here. Because coming here is going to be a pain in the neck, because you're not going to be allowed to do things that you did in the world. You cannot say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. You knew it. You can't say, I don't know how to do this. You do. You can't say, I don't like doing what you asked me to do. You do too. That's why you came here. You want to be asked to do the things you're asked to do. You say, I just get started and I learn something, and then you move me on to something else. That's right, because you're learning change. You're not here to be an efficient person. You are to be as efficient as you can, but you're learning to be untouched. You're learning to love yourself. You're learning to be recognizing that you're number one. Are those things so bad? I don't think so. At least I think that's what you're here for. And if that's what you're here for, that's what I'm here for. To share that program with you. And it doesn't bother me at all when you cry. It doesn't bother me at all. Choked on that one. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. When you choose to go away or you choose to stay. It doesn't bother me at all. Because once you have come into my world, you're mine. Once you have come into my world, I'm with you forever. Once you have come into my world, I work with you forever. I don't require anything of you except that you be yourself and have fun. And is that so bad? And to be yourself and have fun means you have to be honest. You have to have integrity. You have to have sincerity. You have to have love for yourself. And love for all of your creation. And if this is what you want, hey, I'm your man. And like I told Stefan, like I told you, we've had many people come to campus. And they, in a short time, a few moments, days, weeks, step, that's it. They moved into their divine awareness absolutely. And they are remembered no more. When you have a spiritual healing, nobody ever knows that you were sick. Nobody, not the doctors, the hospitals, nothing. You are perfect. And the same thing when you make your spiritual transition. You will still be in the world. You will still be doing wonderful things and having fun, if you will, being yourself. But no one will ever know that you were there and that you were anything different than what you are as you make that wonderful movement. I'm dedicated to following the rules because the rules accomplish miracles for me. I love you.